जो राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय गोपी जन बालाभा गिरिवर धारे जैया गोपी जन बालाभा गिरिवर धारे यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बना छारे जमुना तीरा बना छारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जैया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय ओम विष्णुपद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य आशुतोत्तर शत शिशिमत इज दिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस कॉन्फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमं भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 8, entitled Lord Krishna reveals the universal form within his mouth, text number 42. Aham mamaso patir esha me shuto Brajeshwarai saikila bitta pashati Gopyascha gopasaha godanascha me Yamma jaye tankamati samegati Aham Aham mama saupatir eshasme suto. Brajeshwara shikila vitta pashati. Gopyascha gopasaha godhanascha me. Yama yayetan kumatisha megati. Aham mama saopatir esha me shuto. Brajeshwara shikilat vitta pashati. Gopyascha gopasaha godhanascha me. Yama yayetan kumatisha me gati. Please chant. Aham mama saupatir esha me shuto. Brajeshwarasya kila vitta pashati. Gopyascha gopasaha godhanascha me. Yama yayetan kumatisha me gati. Aham mama saupatir esha me shuto. Brajeshwarasya kila vitta pashati. Gopyascha gopasaha godhanascha me. Yama yayetan kumatisha me gati. Aham, my existence. I am something. Mama, my. Asau, Nanda Maharaj. Patihi, husband. Ishaha, this Krishna. Me Shutaha is my son, Braja Ishwarasya, of my husband, Nanda Maharaj. Akila Bita Pa. I am the possessor of unlimited opulence and wealth. Sati, because I am his wife. Gopyacha, and all the damsels of the cowherd men. Gopaha, all the cowherd men are my subordinates. Saha Godana Cha, with the cows and calves. Me, my, Yatma Yaya. All such things addressed by me are, after all, given by the mercy of the Supreme. Itan, thus, Kumatihi, I am wrongly thinking they are my possessions. Saha me gatihi, he is therefore my only shelter. I am simply instrumental. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord, Maya, that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, All the wealth of cows and calf are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I am also eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Purport. Following the footsteps of Mother Yasoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything, as stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhaktaram jagyata pasham sarvaloka maheshwaram sruhidam sarvabhutanam yatva manchantin drishyati. Quote, the sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. End of quote. We should not be proud of our possessions, as expressed by Mother Yasoda herein. Quote, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The estate, the possessions, the cows and calf, and the subjects, like the gopis and the cowherd man, are all given to me. End of quote. One should give up thinking of, quote, my possessions, my son and my husband. End of quote. Janashya mohoyam hammameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion we wrongly think, quote, I am existent, end of quote, or, quote, everything belongs to me, end of quote. Thus Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointing, thinking, quote, my endeavors to protect my sons by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord have given so many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End of quote. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavatam 7:9-19. Balasya neha sharanam pitarao nasimha. A father and a mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Ato griha shetra sutapavayatar janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Bhagavatam 5:5-8. One's land, home, wealth, and other possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think, quote, I am this and, quote, these things are mine, end of quote. Om jnana timrandasya jnananjana shalakaja chakshur ummilitam yena tasmai sri gurube namaha. Namo om vishnupadaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate ramapada swamiti namaha. Namo om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripasindu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So this is a very wonderful part of the narration of the pastime. I find that fascinating is not the word. Jai Baladev, number two, just bring it just a little down. Number two. Thanks. So, fascinating is not the right word, but it's very instructive, and it's actually, I think the word is wonderful, because we've been giving entrance to the mind and the feelings and the thinking and the process of Mother Yashoda. And from the perspective of ourselves listening to this narration, we have to, we understand the exalted position of Mother Yashoda. And the fact that Krishna defined himself as the son of Mother Yashoda is a very unique personality and also important and highly elevated. Krishna is known as Yashoda Nandana. So not there is not many devotees of the Lord who have that status, that unique status. It's only few that have that unique status. So one may question, okay, what's the position of Mother Yashoda? Is she a jiva or is she Shakti? You know? Any? The word that Prabhupada uses is Nitya Siddha. But can, like for example, a jiva, so we are jivas. So what's the difference between us and Mother Yashoda? Or Nanda Maharaj, or the cowherd boys, or the damsels of Vrindavan, Lalita and Vishakha. Well, we know of Lalita and Vishakha, the expansion of Srimati Radharani. That's clear. Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. So, and Lord Balaram is an expansion, direct expansion of Lord Krishna. So, there is this understanding that there is some associates of the Lord in Vrindavan, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, parents, that they're special. They're not, and then there's unlimited jivas that are there. Prabhupada explains that the majority, it's only a minority of jivas that actually come to this material world. The majority are this is like in a regular society, only few are living in jail. The majority lives in free, working harmoniously with the governmental structures and societies, social structures. So Mother Yashoda, it is generally understood as a Shakti, same with Nanda Maharaj, not as a jiva. Srila Prabhupada, he explains the position of Mother Yashoda in one purport later in the pastime of next chapter, the pastimes of Lord Damodar, Mother Yashoda binding Krishna to chastise him for his naughty behavior, the Damodar Lila. So Prabhupada in the purport of chapter 9, text 20 and 21, we find in the purport he explains the position of Mother Yashoda He says this. He says, there are different types of liberations, such as Sayuja, Salokya, Sarupya, Shasti, and Samipya. But Bimukti means a special mukti. When after liberation one is situated on the platform of Prema Bhakti, one says, jeez, can you tell them that they have to keep it down? Thanks. Okay. When after liberation, one is situated on the platform of Prema Bhakti, one is said to have achieved Bimukti, a special mukti. Therefore, the word Na is mentioned. The exalted platform of Prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Prema Pumartho Maham. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position of loving affairs. She is therefore a Nitya Shida devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Ladini potency. So, just like Srimati Radharani is Ladini potency, so all of these very loving associates of the Lord expands from that potency too. His potency is to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees, Ananda Chimaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Such devotees are not sadhana siddhis. So there is this differentiation between Nitya Siddha devotees and sadhana siddha devotees. Sadhana siddha as devotees who through the process of purification of sadhana, one achieves perfection and one achieves liberation. But Nitya Siddha devotees are eternally liberated devotees. And now there's more questions to that. Again, you can get really deep in terms of the nature of the unlimited loving devotees that are serving the Lord in the spiritual world. However, the position, Prabhupada explains here the position of Mother Yashoda, an expansion of Krishna's Ladini potency. So, it is explained that we have to follow part of the process. Is at one point we follow these Nitya Siddha devotees, these special devotees, associates of the Lord. Also, I heard the explanations of when we go back home, back to Godhead, first we join Krishna's Lila, Boma Lila. And then in that Boma Lila, we get trained. It's almost like we do, before going to Goloka Vrindavan, we come to the Boma Lilas of the Lord, whatever he is performing that Lila in the universe, and then we get trained under one of these special devotees of the Lord, according to our propensities and things like that. So we follow these special devotees. And this part is very wonderful because it gives us entrance to the mind, how one of these special devotees of the Lord, these expansions of his pleasure potency, thinks and process, the process, how would you say, process the reality or life. So it's beautiful just to see Mother Yasoda's thinking. If you review it, she sees within the mouth of Krishna, Krishna manifests the universal form. And she becomes bewildered. So the process of analyzing, okay, what she's seeing is very bewildering, and actually is, when one sees the universal form in general, we heard that in the classes, devotees become overwhelmed. The ones who have the opportunity to see the universal form becomes overwhelmed with awe and also with fear, because it's such a powerful display of reality that is beyond what we can take at one time. Just to imagine that, you know, to be able to see the whole cosmic manifestation and beyond time, beyond space, everything at the same time, is too much information that it becomes, you know, completely devastating for the devotee who is witnessing that. Arjuna had that experience, we covered that. And Mother Yashoda also became bewildered and fearful. What is this that she's seeing? And she was trying to explain. So, is it an illusion? Is it real? But am I dreaming? But I cannot be dreaming because I'm awake. I won't be dreaming with my, you know. So I'm not dreaming. So is it the demigods that are doing something? But why the demigods will do this? I'm just a simple, you know, human. You know, what business the demigods have to make all this display for me? No. Am I crazy? I have some difficulty in my mind. No, I'm actually pretty healthy. And I'm, you know, have sound thinking. So it's not my health. It's not my mental health or physical health. The conclusion is that this boy of mine has mystic powers. But this mystic powers, this is very, is fearful. So, you know, she immediately, she's thinking that, oh, let the Supreme Lord protect my child. Because she realizes that the motherly desire is that, you know, if we see that our child has certain special gifts, or if our child has certain something that could be, you know, very powerful or very attractive, there's a worry that, you know, this being misused or being, you know, something. There's always this worry. You have to protect the child. You have to help him harness this gift. So she wants to protect it, but one of the realizations is that she won't be able to do something to protect him that is beyond her. So this is her thinking. So where she goes, and then is what gives us entrance to how a pure devotee thinks. Everything at all moments and also in all circumstances, their Krishna consciousness just like shines. And that's the part that that Srila Prabhupada encourages to, we have to follow that. We have to learn that. He is the example. That Mother Yashoda, when she finds, she understands herself to be incapable to give protection, and then the Krishna consciousness shine, who is the only one who can give protection. So therefore, let me surrender to the Lord, because only He can protect my child. And then comes, you know, it's all back up by her complete understanding of transcendence. Perfect understanding, perfect Krishna consciousness, the end of all knowledge, jnanabham, what is it? Bahunan jammanante jnanabham mam prapadyante. So to those fully surrendered souls, they have already obtained the end of all knowledge. They know it's perfect. So although she is playing the part of a Vaishya lady, you know, of course, the Vaishyas in these times, they have shown that they're highly prepared and educated, that the so-called Brahmanas of Kali Yuga don't even come close to the qualification of the Vaishyas of previous times. So she orders playing that part, the part of a you know, a mercantile farmer lady. Still, the access to a full, perfect understanding of transcendental knowledge came forward. So she understood, she expresses in this verse and in the previous verse, she expresses, you know, why. Because the Lord, He is the supreme proprietor. She understands His position, understands the position of the Lord and the relationship that she has with the Lord. And that's what the Sri Upanishad tells us, that the Ishavasya principle is the principle that is there for all living entities in this material world. That without understanding the Ishavasya principle, there is no chance to live a life of balance, of peace and prosperity in this world. Without having that Ishavasya conception, we're basically doomed to be in some hellish situation. And the world becomes, the material world becomes for us the stark reality of Dukhalayan, a place of misery. It's all. It doesn't matter how you paint it or rearrange it or put some makeup or cover it, it's always going to be a place of misery. If we follow the Ishavasya principle, we can live 100 years following that and be completely happy. There is no alternative, according to the Sri Upanishad. There is no alternative for happiness. It's only that. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada quotes, Bhaktaranja Yatapashan Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the supreme controller and the supreme owner of all planetary systems and demigods. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. And Srihidan Sarvabhutanam, he is our supreme well-wisher. Same thing. Ishavasham idam sarvan jatkinchan jagyatan jagat, that everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. So therefore, tena tyaktena bunchita mat grihat kasya swadhanam. We should accept how to live our life according to that principle. The Lord provides for us. So we see the Lord as our maintainer and as protector. And that is the position of surrender. The six limbs of surrender, those are two of them. We see a Lord of our maintainer, we see a Lord of our protector. And we surrender everything to Him. We approach Him with humility. And we give up anything that is contrary to the process of devotional service of surrender. And we accept those things that are favorable. So those are the six limbs of surrender. So when one have that type of surrender, when we follow, you know, Mother Yashoda here is is presenting that highest position of surrender. And she's exemplifying perfectly. She's giving us entrance to that, how one processes something. So we all experience times in which we are bewildered by something. Life, Krishna makes an arrangement, and we have to go to something that completely throws our world upside down. We all experience that. And constantly we're going to experience that, because that's how this world is designed. Because it's Dukkhalajan Ashashvatam. This Ashashvatam thing is that this world is governed by eternal time, the time factor. And the time factor constantly is changing things. So meaning that when we feel ourselves that, okay, I'm stable right now, something is going to get pulled under our feet. And then our world becomes confused and bewildered. What do we do in times of bewilderment? Why do we do with something is beyond our capacity to understand and to make sense of it? And in general, when our world is turned upside down, we're afraid. We're afraid we're losing something. We're afraid we lose the capacity to control our, you know, reality, what's going to happen. So what do? In general, people find different shelters. Fallible shelters. So we find shelter in other people. We find shelter in families. We find shelter in anything, substances, material things, you know, if I have that, but these are all, in the words of Sri Sukadev Goswami, fallible soldiers. And we can find peace. We can find ever a position and a stable position of peace. So, here's an example. That we take shelter
Mother Yasoda immediately, her, how would you say it? Natural reaction, the immediate reaction was take full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because only Him can give protection, only Him is in the control. Only by illusion I'm thinking I'm controlling, I'm thinking I'm this, I have this possession, I have all these things, but this is all belong to the Personality of Godhead. So the perfect concept of Ishavasya, the perfect concept of Bhaktaram Jagya Tapasak, and therefore peace, shanti, the devotee can have perfect, peaceful, stable, you always have that shelter. So the devotee does not have that, therefore the devotee is always in ananda, is not in, or is sukha. Susukam kartun avyayam, sukham. The devotee is always in this cheerful, happy position because you feel fully sheltered. You don't have any worries. Prabhupada, Krishna says, without peace, there's no question of happiness. So, Prabhupada's famous booklet that he gave to the devotees to distribute during the times of the conflict with the Vietnam War in late 60s and 70s, the peace formula was this verse, Bhaktaram Jaya Tapasam. This is how you want peace, you're discussing about how to achieve peace, now here is the formula. So Mother Yasoda is giving the perfect example. You surrender to Krishna and see Him as the proprietor, the well-wisher, the controller, and simply in that mentality, then we are secure. You know that in that position of surrender, the mercy of the Lord becomes our rightful claim. Which is that wonderful verse, Prabhupada quote from, it's possibly the most encouraging verse for us conditioned souls that are taken to Krishna consciousness, that is presented in the Bhagavatam. It's Lord Brahma's prayers, Tate Nukampan Sushamak Shamano. That the verse translates, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your costless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for he has become his rightful claim. And Prabhupada says this, he quotes Srila Sridhar Swami commentary. In his commentary, that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, you don't have to do anything, you just simply have to live. If you're alive, you know that you're going to get the inheritance of your father. You just have to, don't die, just be alive. One who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulated principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. So Prabhupada says basically to us, and with this verse, that we just patiently go through whatever suffering, whatever thing or deal we have to go, but we remain fixed in the practices of sadhana bhakti, Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada tells us, you follow these principles that you vow for, you chant your 16 rounds, you follow the four regulated principles, and you perform devotional service to the Lord, and you go back home, back to Godhead, regardless. You do that through your life. And it's explained, even if by the time of death, if you sincerely and loyally follow this process, even if at the time of death you not have achieved liberation from your conditional, you know, you still have attachments and things like that, Krishna will cover for you. He will still take you. And we see the glorious, so many of Prabhupada's, there's so many examples in ISKCON of devotees who have left their bodies. Although they have gone through different phases, by Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they left their bodies in a glorious way that it makes no doubt that they went back home, back to Godhead. So, it gives us great hope, and also we have these great examples to follow, and also we can appreciate that the Bhagavatam is such an important and amazing book that allows to witness how these personalities actually process, you know, life. And then we can actually follow in their footsteps. Any comments or questions? Yeah, you have to bring him down and everything. I think I need a mic.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You were mentioning a lot of points, and mentioning some of the points that was mentioned in this purport. But as soon as I read this purport, it reminded me of something His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentioned in a lecture. Basically, it sums up this whole verse and purport. Because Mother Jasoda basically, I guess, is teaching us how to be humble, because the ideal is that when we have money, we become proud and say, this other person doesn't have money. Or when we don't have money, we may become envious and say, I don't have money, this person does. But one thing I appreciate about one lecture that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gave, when he was giving sannyas initiation to Amalabhata Maharaj, in the essence of his lecture, he summed up in one quote by Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a devotee for permission to renounce everything. Srila Prabhupada's response was, Krishna owns everything. So what do you have to renounce? The only thing you have to renounce is the misconception that you have something to renounce. And the reason I appreciate that is because you were mentioning we should follow some examples in the scriptures of these great devotees. And we see that, I remember one lecture Radhanath Maharaj says, he mentioned Indra. Indra is a great devotee. Most people wouldn't consider him a great devotee, but he's teaching us what not to do. But of course, other devotees are also teaching us what to do. So my question is regarding some of these examples, because I'm not sure if you heard about it, but I was discussing with one devotee the other day. There's like some TV show called Undercover Boss. And the idea is that basically the employees, the bosses of a big company will disguise themselves and associate with their employees. And they want to test whether they have tender qualities or pre-tender qualities. If they have genuine tender qualities, then they'll give them some benefit. And we see that there's so many pastimes like that. Keshava Keshmirian, Chaitanya, Bali Maharaj, and Vamanadev. But one pastime I'd like to mention, maybe you could expand on some of these points, is King Rantidev. There's a similar pastime where he actually passed the test when he was fasting for 30 days or so, and then some of his well-wishers, he was a great king. He had no conception that I'm a rich king. He didn't have that pride. So after he fasted for 30 days, some of his well-wishers brought him some food. Then a brahmana came and says, I'm hungry. Can you give me some food? He says, of course. Then a sudra came. Then a chandala came. Some dogs came. And he literally gave all his food and was willing to risk his own life for the benefit of not just first-class people, but even second-class, the lowest class, and any class of people, any living entities. And so there's one nice quote by Khalil Gibran, and it summarizes the pastime of Rantidev. He was probably using his line to seduce women, but it's a very beautiful quote. He says, one day you will ask me what's more important, my life or yours, and then you will walk away not knowing that you are my life. So Rantidev says, it doesn't matter whether you're a first-class person, second-class person, third-class person, you are my life. Not because you're a beautiful woman, you are my life. You have money, you're my life. So basically my question is, what are some steps we can move forward? Because Krishna is always testing us every moment. We could put on a show easily of humility, but how do we treat others when the spiritual master or some authority isn't gone? That's the first aspect of my question. The second aspect of my question is, what are some steps we can move forward to give up this ideal of overly identifying with our title, our upadhi, that rich or king or authority, because we see Hiranyakashipu or even Indra overly identify with it. And it's, since I have this title, I'm meant to get my way. There's no compromise. I'm meant to get my way because you're overly attached to this upadhi. Sarvapadhi virdham muktam, tat padadvaini nirmalam, etc. That verse, Prabhupada. So I'm not, those are two aspects of my question. I'm not sure if you could remember them, but maybe you could explain.
Well, one thing is, that's where these examples become so important for us, because in one sense, we have an example of how to process things, of remembering that I'm not in control. Krishna is such a refrain that is there in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you know, that you're not the controller. Krishna is the controller, the supreme controller. And that piece of knowledge gives us the capacity to bounce back, to be able to process something in the proper way. In general, the process of growing of most of us, the application of the knowledge becomes more apparent when things, you usually say, things are not going our way, which is most of the time, you know. So that's when you get, you know, those are the more difficult tests of how you're going to process when things are not going your own way. And then we become a little bit bewildered confused. Oh my God, what should I do? Should I do like this? Should I do that? Prabhu, you know, Mataji, whoever, you know, we discuss with the devotees, we read, we, you know, trying to figure it out. So we have to consume, we have to process the world. We have to process things that we see, we have to process circumstances, all these things. We have to make choices. To make choices, we have to process. So the learning thing that we have is that we have to start to apply this transcendental knowledge in the way we process the world. And for most of us, we learn by ordeal. Ordeal, you know, by going through. And, you know, how you say, trial and error, in one sense. Yeah, so we go and we try, and at one point Krishna help us by ordeal for the devotees. He help us. And then at one point we do the Draupadi thing, you know. Just like you go, at one point we're going to have that position. It's a natural, it will be a natural, very organic path that will lead us for sure to receive fully the mercy of the Lord. That sushamikshamana, you know, that we just earnestly wait for that moment. That's what we all as devotees we share, you know, we earnestly wait for the moment that I'll be fully Krishna conscious, is free from all these obstacles that are, it seems unsurpassable for me, that I cannot overcome. But I know if I earnestly wait, just tolerate these ordeals and go on chanting, go on serving, go on practicing, go on trying. I know that the mercy of the Lord is my right. Because the Lord promised that. So, you know, in one sense, we just, it is the natural evolution. We just keep trying to apply what we learn in the way we process the world. And the fact is that we may at this moment think, boy, I'm so far that this is just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it in this life. But if you go back, if you look back, and you see how you process things right now in comparison to how you process things sometime in the past, we are making advancement because we remain following the program of Krishna consciousness, earnestly waiting for that moment that we can break through. And that's the process of Krishna consciousness. So we just have to hold tight to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And we guarantee, we can feel secure about it. It will happen. Anything else? Okay.
One last. Yeah. I forgot to mention, just briefly, that the poor Brahmana, Brahmana Sudra and Chanjala. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva says, right. We were the Brahmana, right. We were the Chandra.
They were testing.
We wanted to test your qualities, yeah. So I forgot to mention.
Yeah. Jai, thank you so much. Garantarashiman Bhagavadam Ki Jai.